Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The national college semis are coming up today. I guess the championship, January 13th, I believe it is. But it's a pleasure to welcome in the national college football writer for CBS.com. That's Dennis Dodd. Dennis, Ed Coleman here in New York. How are you?
Eddie, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming on board here today. I said this before, and you tell me whether I'm crazy or not for saying it, but I've thought Ohio State was the best football team all season long overall in the country, and yet I don't think they're going to be Clemson today.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right, and that's the feeling I've had. I had Ohio State. You know, I called them the most complete team.
Yeah.
They were mind-numbingly consistent throughout the season. They didn't have, I'll tell you what, they had three, I guess maybe you could call them bad quarters. They allowed Penn State to get back into the game at halftime in the third quarter last month. They eventually won 28-17. They trailed Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game 21-7 and then reeled off 27 straight points. But that's about it. They're like Clemson. They've barely been challenged. Mm-hmm. But now I think it's been easy for a lot of people, national media, us, to just kind of forget and ignore Clemson after the North Carolina game, because they've been mind-numbingly consistent as well. But they're very, very good, and I think what tips it in their favor is they're defending national champs, and they've been here before.
That is an excellent point, and I guess the other part of it, too, when you look at the Ohio State side, Justin Fields, 100%, not 100%. Where is he? What do you feel, how much of an impact that has today?
Well, he's not 100%. He said it Tuesday, and someone suggested that was gamesmanship. No, if anything, this kid is too honest. He said after the Michigan game, after that, remember he went down in a heap and came back three snaps later and, and rifled the touchdown pass, and everybody said, hey, how bad is it? He had disclosed to us he had an MCL sprain, which is fairly significant. So he comes into this game that he says 80 to 85%. An MCL sprain. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But it's been 24 days since that Michigan game, and he's already played against Wisconsin during that span, so I don't know if it's any better at all. So if he's limited in any way mobility-wise, you have to understand that a big part of Ohio State's game, a huge part, is the quarterback draw. When you see them line up four and five wide on third down, that they do that so that can be an option for him to bolt up the middle. If he can't have that much mobility, that plays right into Clemson's hand. So it's a big, big deal to me.
Yeah, and I think it's something, obviously, you have to watch throughout the game, and whether it takes a toll on him throughout the game as well, too, because that Clemson can certainly have the effect of wearing you down over time during the course of the game, I would think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing in this day and age when we look around the NFL and try to find good quarterbacks and quarterbacks who can handle systems, and that when you look at the four quarterbacks that we'll be looking at today, it is kind of mind-boggling. You look at the numbers they put up: Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, of course, the Heisman Trophy winner. It's kind of amazing to have four quarterbacks of this caliber to look at today.
Yeah, and the transfer factor with Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow and Justin Fields making up three of the four, that kind of signifies where college football's at right now. In this game alone here in Phoenix, you've got, I just said, Justin Fields, for as hobbled, you know, as he may be, 40 touchdowns, one interception. I don't know if there's ever been a touchdown to interception ratio like that ever for, you know, over a full season. And that's amazing. And then Trevor Lawrence, 38-6, but in September, he came out of September leading the ACC in interceptions and then just went on a tear. Last six games, 20 touchdown passes, no interceptions. And, you know, has it back to the point where, yeah, maybe this guy should be playing in the NFL right now. I was one of those guys who, after the Alabama game last January, was going, he's wasting his time in college. Well, I think he has some brushing up to do. So both these guys are very, very good.
Jalen Hurts on the other side of the LSU-Oklahoma game. You know, you talk about numbers, and he's got, what, 32 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, but then he has 18 rushing, 50 touchdowns on the season. That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, he's a 1,000-yard rusher, actually a 1,200-yard rusher, and that's wishbone stuff.
Isn't he their leading rusher, too? I think he is.
He is their leading rusher, absolutely. And that harkens back to the old wishbone days when, you know, Jamel Holloway in 1985 rushed for 1,000 yards as a true freshman and led them to a national championship. My point is the running quarterback was the focus of the offense. Well, Jalen Hurts under Lincoln Riley can throw as well. He had a fantastic throwing season. You just mentioned it. But they're a little bit limited today. They had four players suspended. Two of them significant names in the scheme: Ronnie Perkins, their best defensive lineman, and Ramondre Stevenson. Remember that name because you're going to hear it on TV. Their backup tailback to Kennedy Brooks, and he's really, really good. Gets around the edge. Drug positives, whatever. They're not going to play today, and I think that just plays right into LSU's.
Yeah, no, it does. They're an overwhelming favorite, to say the least, in the game. My gut says that Oklahoma can keep it close, but I do think the odds are stacked against them, especially with the suspensions, too.
Well, their best runner, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is supposedly, he is hobbled with a
hamstring.
And the last update we had was from Ed Orgeron, who said, I think he'll play, I don't know how much. I think he's being very honest. You know, I heard as late as yesterday that he's being spotted walking around on crutches. That's never good when you have a hamstring.
I don't think has he practiced at all this week? I don't think he has.
I don't know. I don't think so. But let's say he doesn't play or doesn't play much. I think Joe Burrow can still stand back there and pick apart this defense. This is a significantly better Oklahoma defense. They went from 114th to 26th in total defense this year under Alex Grinch, their defensive coordinator. But look, we're talking about a generational offense at LSU with the country's best player. Let's admit it. Joe Burrow may be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And they've got two dominant receivers. Jamar Chase is the Biletnikoff Award winner. It's the best receiver in the country. And Justin Jefferson. They may not need Clyde Edwards-Helaire today.
That's a very good point. Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com, our guest here. He's the national football writer and, of course, the national semis today. You know, you look at Burrow and you think back to last year, and I know the spread offense wasn't there. It changed around this year. But, boy, does he run the RPO, the run-pass option, out of that spread? It looks like it was made for him or he was made for it. I'm not sure, but it's been a thing of beauty to watch this year.
Yeah, and he went from Ohio State to LSU on the promise that they would run this stuff. Well, they didn't really. They were committed to a spread last year, but it doesn't look anything like it does this year. It was a 57% passer last year. In the offseason, Ed Orgeron goes and gets a New Orleans Saints offensive assistant, not even a position coach, an offensive assistant named Joe Brady, 29 years old, now 30. He installs the zone read spread with RPO concepts, and look what happened. I don't have to tell you what happened. One of the most powerful offenses in the country, Joe Burrow blossomed. He goes from maybe a fifth-round prospect to, as I said, the number one pick in the draft, depending on need. He'll be number one or number two, him and Chase Young at Ohio State.
Right.
And they've just taken off. It's been amazing.
Chase Young, you bring up, he hasn't been the same the last month, but there's a lot of double teams and triple teams in there. How much do you, how much does that play into it for you, or is this a guy who should not be as highly touted as some people think?
Well, he's blamed it on double teams and triple teams, but guess what? When you're really good, you're going to face that every play, or at least every passing down.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to get better. He was skunked against Michigan, no tackles. Against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, 5 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss. No sacks, mind you, since November 23rd against Penn State.
Mm.
So he has to have a big game for his sake, his draft sake, and obviously Ohio State's chances to win. His body, his get-off, his talent is going to have him, just like I said, no matter if they win or lose today, it's the number one or number two player drafted, and he finished, I think this is right, the runner-up in the Heisman, which is amazing. So he's still having a great year.
Trevor Lawrence is going to have some tough people to throw against today. Okuda's back there, Arnett, you know, Wade, others, and the safeties that they have. So how does that play into it, Dennis, in your mind? Their defensive backs can get the job done, Ohio State.
In a game that is now, 2.5, 2 points, edging to Clemson just slightly, I think the biggest advantages for Clemson are obviously coaching. Dabo Swinney, defending national champion, trying to win three in a row. Been there 10 years, Clemson, over Ryan Day, who's a rookie head coach, and that's a story in itself, what he's done. The other big advantage, I think, is at receiver for Clemson. T. Higgins and Justin Ross are two of the best in the country. They're like the two I mentioned at LSU. One of them, I think it's Justin Ross, is a sophomore. He has 1,000 yards receiving. And then T. Higgins, the veteran, is more like 750. Yeah, Jeff Okuda is a pro. He might be the best cover corner in ball, but I don't know if you can stop him, you know, both at once. You know, one of them is going to get loose at least against a pretty good talented secondary. But I suspect you'll see a lot of zone. I don't think they'll be bold and stubborn and try to play man-to-man against these guys who are going to get open against these guys. But you're right, Jeff Okuda, the corner said, bring it on. We're ready.
Clemson does not give up a lot of big plays, especially passing plays. But then again, they played in the ACC. So how do you read that going into the game, Dennis?
Their defense is, just yesterday, Dabo Swinney said it's probably the best back seven I've ever had. And that's on the heels of having three defensive linemen drafted last year in the first round. Now, that defensive line wasn't going to be as good. Now, logic dictates that, but it's still very, very good. Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you talk about Clemson, you have to have that hedge about playing in the ACC. But look, 28 in a row, if they seal the deal this year and win out and win another championship, that's 30 in a row. Only 9 schools in history, 150-year history of football, will have longer winning streaks than Clemson. So it goes beyond the competition. You know, they're very, very good. Their secondary is on a par with Ohio State's almost. It's just that the offense gets out in front so much. It's pretty easy to play defense if you're at Clemson.
Yeah, I think you had mentioned if they score first, watch out, correct?
Yep. 50-0. Clemson has won its last 50 in a row when they score first, and that's significant because in a loser-leave-town match, what if Ohio State goes up 10-0 early? You know, Jeff Okuda said it earlier in the week. We need to smack them in the mouth right away and see if they respond. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to that when you won 50 in a row like that.
No question. 50 sounds better than 28 in a row, which is pretty good. That's for sure. Dennis, enjoyed the time. Thanks very much. Enjoy the games today as well, okay?
All right, Eddie. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Dennis Dodd of CBS.com, their national football writer. And again, the semis today. The first one, LSU-Oklahoma. That's at 4 o'clock. And then 8 o'clock, I think, is the kick for Ohio State and Clemson.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.